You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
The upside of failure.
You know, on our road to success, we're bound to encounter lots of failures. And on Fridays on the show, we give ourselves permission to talk about something that society just tends to not spotlight often enough. We're obsessed about stories of success, and yet failure is universal. And it's been such an interesting exploration as I think back to some of the guests that we've had. We started with Professor Jonathan Janssen, and it was surprising to hear some of the areas where he has failed. Musi Maimani, for instance, and Wade van Niekerk, a whole host of people have shared their failures with us. Just last week, we spoke to Luyanda Jafta. I mean, just the insights that he had about feeling that he had failed in not forming a nuclear family, an ambition that he had had from childhood, you know, took us into the personal. And that's the thing with failure. It allows us to also delve into the personal and not just the public profile that can be so carefully curated. And so in facilitating these conversations and looking at failure and understanding and analyzing failure through these conversations, I've found in one particular piece that asks us to consider what definition of success and failure we hold currently, because some of us won't define failure ourselves. Instead, we'll let that be shaped by other people and the world around us. You know, we'll be swayed by other people's influences, our boss, our best friends, social media stars, for instance, that we've never met, will somehow influence what we benchmark as success and failure. And this means that whenever we don't match up to the standard, we're just failing. And when we do, we're succeeding. And so it's an interesting one to see what informs our definitions and how much of it is external. And so today we'll be exploring the life as well as the moments of failure of a creative junkie. She is a lover of story and storytelling. She was the author of 11 books by the age of 31. She is a scriptwriter, play director, content producer, and that's Nontandla Mnisi. She talks to us about her moments of failure on the road to achieving the milestones that she has. And she has had the honor of receiving the Golden Key International Award. This was in 2015 at the University of Pretoria, from Soweto TV, Metro FM, Josie FM, SABC One, Ogilvy and Mather. She has touched some of the work that has come out of there. And if you love stories that, or shows like Gomorrah and Isibaya, you will see her name. You would have seen her name in the credits of these shows. And most recently, she was involved in launching 44 Young Leaders in commemoration of 44 years since 1976. And this was inspired by Nelson Mandela quotes. So she joins us now on the line. Nontlantla, good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good afternoon, Lavanya. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I think it always takes courage. It always takes such boldness to be able to reflect in this way. So I commend you on that. So you are a writer, producer, and director. I was just giving a brief history of just the dense career that you've had. You had published all these books by such a young age, and you went on to ghostwrite a whole host of other books, 9 from the tally that I could find. Where did your love of storytelling come from?
I think for me, well, definitely my mom, because she used to be a Dear Diary lady.
Yeah.
So I think it was a family gift in a way, because I grew up reading so much of, you know, what was happening in her life through the diary, because she was just so dedicated in saying what happened today, what's happening tomorrow, and so forth. Yeah.
Oh, and she shared her journal with you?
No, she would hide them. But she just didn't know that I would read. Because when the boyfriend died, that's what I would see, you know, when we go to Rustenburg for the weekend, you know, I'd know beforehand. You know, she probably had no idea that, you know, I was up to date.
I see. Okay. And your stories have actually taken you to many places, and they've allowed you to be in all sorts of different rooms with all sorts of people. But you have one particular dream that you just can't seem to let go of.
Sure. It is tiring. You know, in fact, I wrote a piece the other time where I said dreams can be suicidal, because I got to a point where I said, you know, I think if we didn't have dreams, you know, we'd just be fine. You know, you wake up, you go to work, you know, you do your 9-to-5, you come back, you know, you do whatever that pays. That can pay with you.
Mm.
You know, but, you know, with this dream, it really suffocates you. It can suffocate you. So it started off a couple of years ago when I got accepted by the New York Film Academy. I'd applied to 3 institutions and they all accepted me. The other one was the same university and another one in Miami. I forgot that one. And obviously New York was the place to be for me at that time. And, you know, the idea was for me to go there and spend the year starting producing. And so what these guys do, they give you a little bit and they give you the full amount. And it's something that I got to learn as I went around knocking on people's doors and asking for funds. And I remember recently bumping into John Gunn and he literally told me that film studies, they just don't pay in advance. And I was like, I don't understand why they do this, you know. So I then had to devise a plan that it will allow me to now fundraise this call. And
the upside of failure.
Let's see if that line has improved as we go back to Nonhlanhla Mnisi, who's a writer, producer, director, and author. I mean, someone who has penned lots of people struggled to get one book out. She has written a number of books in her young life, and she's in her 30s as we speak. Nonhlanhla, you were telling us about this dream to go and study film overseas.
Yes. So initially it started off with that 1-year program when I was meant to go to New York City.
Mm.
It really didn't pan out. You know, I sort of like knocked on quite a number of doors, you know, asking for funding. At that time, my main thing was, let me just get a sponsor. And it came to a point where really I sort of like forgot about the dream, I think, for a year or so. And up until now, I got accepted. I got offered post now to come in and do my master's, actually. And I thought, master's? You know, it's a whole ball game for me because I had to choose specializing in directing. Now, at that time, I'd already sort of like started training my writing muscles, you know, because I really don't have an academic background in mm-hmm. the arts industry. You know, so for me, it was like, if I could get on and direct, you know, that would just be the dream. So that then began another struggle once again to say, these guys can only offer you 45% and you need, you know, to raise the 55% on your own. And it's 2 years and it's expensive to stay in LA. The rent is like 14,000 per month. You know, that's the cheapest that I could find so far. Sure. And I derived a plan to say, okay, maybe let me just come up with a book combo. You know, if I could sell 8 of my books, 8 titles, you know, for $1,185, and I could make $1 million. And I thought, whoa, okay. You know, with a friend of mine who's actually also in the media space, and we put together a plan, you know, did some pamphlets, and I got some of my friends, you know, who are in the entertainment space as well to post. You know, I pulled in your Penny Libianes, you know, your Patricia Lamini's and all that to say, guys, please help me make noise. And, you know, that sort of like gained traction. But once again, I fell short because I could not even get to 50 combos. Couldn't sell, you know, even 50. Now, what happened was it ended up costing more than those combos, so there was no profit. You know, because it costs more to print, you know, in small quantities.
Yes.
So it's just been moving from one thing to the next, you know, one thing to the next.
So that this particular dream is elusive.
It's slippery, but I'm not complaining because now what I then thought of what happened was recently is I think it's a Proverbs 18:16 thing wherein God is making, you know, room for my gift, wherein I actually write more books, but now instead of people paying the fee that I charge to ghostwrite, you know, someone's book, you know, people will pay a little bit more. You know, so I go to a businessman who says, you can do this book for this much and get it started. One of them being Sandy Lezuma from Black Business Council is like, look, get a novel and, you know, 150K, we will cover the first semester for me. And above that, he also connected me with his brother's organization. But it's an agency, you know, it's like they have a creative space. Talk to them, and I went. We had a chat, and I said to me, "Look, consultant, you know, we're taking a number of photos. We've got 10 petals doing 1, 2, and 3 for us. You can come in and do 4 and 5. You know, that's what now it's you know in process of doing the treatment to doing a documentary. So it's me learning these things that I'm going up to before actually. Mm-hmm. Learning to do them and doing them right now. Those are the things that will help, you know, me get the money that which I need.
Yes. Well, Nontlantle, I'm going to ask you that you move around a little bit because now it's starting to fail as it was muffled earlier, but now it's failing a little bit as you go along. So I think that's also a lesson. What lesson have you drawn out of this? What I'm hearing you is, as you say, is that the plan might have been one thing. And when it does not succeed in your efforts to make it happen, something else emerges. Other opportunities arise.
Yes, most definitely. And I think for me, really, one, it would be to say that I got to a point where I had to understand that the vision is only for your eyes only, you know. Mm-hmm. You'd lose friends, you'd lose family, trying to show people this. Because people don't understand, like, why don't you just go back to a bank? You've got an honors degree. You could, you know, get your pension, get your medical aid, get your life in order, you know. Mm-hmm. But what I'm so grateful for also is with, you know, with this process, it has also introduced my work and my craft to other people who are in influential places who will be able to assist. I mean, I had an honor the other day, the CEO of Mulambo Foundation, who connected me, and we had a meeting with Dr. Pumzile Mlambo, and she was taken under her wing to say, look, going to help you get your books to New York Library, going to help you, going to do this, we're going to do that, you know. So there's some things are starting to pick up, you know. There really seems to be hope and light to say that, look, whilst you're busy knocking, you know, as well as the doors, you know, something else, you're going to get more than just what you started for, in a way.
Yeah.
You know, it was that.
And let's backtrack a little bit just so that we can give some frame to your career trajectory, because you had studied at the University of Zululand. They gave you an honor a couple of months recently they honored you as one of the women alumni who has excelled, and you were working in the financial sector and your life was progressing well, but you gave that up to enter the arts, to work in film, to direct and to create content as you had been on the side alongside this career. But giving it up has also come at an incredible cost. There was and lots of creatives at the moment are going through a very tough time with COVID and not being able to work. Of course, there's been an appeal after an appeal to the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture. And the desperate times once led you to being homeless.
Because what happened was, I think it was a few months. I had been out of work for probably more than 6 months. You know, this is 2019. So beginning of last year, because now I need to bring my mind back to 2021. Beginning of last year, I then, you know, it was exactly this month, around this time in January, remember, we were now praying, fasting at church. And it was like something was preparing me that something was about to happen in my life. And I just had to make peace with it. And that was to say, you know, because I'd been defaulting even on the monthly rent, because what happens is whilst you're busy chasing this dream, you find that, you know, you lose so many things. At the point many years ago, I lost my car, you know, you lose all your things. And this time around, it came even at a higher cost when I lost my shelter, you know, and I found myself homeless, you know, staying on the streets, and I didn't tell any of my friends, anyone, because I just felt like I've depleted people so much, you know, and I was also just tired. You know, when you get to that point where you're just tired. Yes, weeks later I was diagnosed with depression and all that, and I had to be on the medication. But it just got to a point where I was just tired. So I just derived a plan. I joined the boxing around Branson, and I knew that every morning I had a place where I could bath. You know, for me that's what was important. Like, you know, can I just do something and be clean at least?
Mm-hmm. You know, and where were you sleeping? As you say that you didn't have shelter at the time.
I slept a lot in Randburg parking, underground, so it was a parking that was no longer, you know, in use, very, very dark, scary place. I would sleep there, and I remember it used to be a spot number 309. So I thought one of these days, many years later, I'm going to write a film that's going to be titled Parking 309, because it's probably a journey that I need to tell that which will hopefully encourage someone else. And outside that, you know, I would also sleep in Randburg, McDonald's. There's one in some features, there's one in Craig Hall. Because I'm a people's person, you know, just get there, network, chat, and all that, and lie sometimes, like, oh, no, it's not chatting. Oh, no, today, oh, no, I just want to stay up. I just need, you know, and some days, you know, it would be at a security, you know, these wooden security houses, you know. I'll just get in there, chat to the guys, like, oh, you know, luckily for me, because I'm used to being up until 5 or 9 in the morning and not sleep at all, it sort of, like, helped, you know, that came in handy, that I was not a 9 o'clock go to bed kind of a person, you know. So, it's exactly a year ago now that we're talking about it, actually.
And you've come out of that gradually, slowly emerging. Gradually,
you know, God being good. Then I got my footing with Gomorrah, you know, and, you know, other things started, you know, coming around and, you know, started picking up pace. It's still surreal, I guess, but yeah, I've had so much support from friends, all that. At point, you know, a friend took me in Florence, and at some point I had to go through for counseling and a whole lot of those things. So it's just been all these, you know, it's just unbelievable. And I never thought I'd find myself in a situation like that.
Thinking about it, listening to you now, it's actually your life is more of a study of resilience. You know, to overcome all sorts of obstacles. On the one hand, given this opportunity to go study a master's at an institution that you've always wanted to study at in a field that you've always loved, and the sacrifice that you made to be in this field, giving up a corporate career to be in this field and paying this big price. And then, of course, just how humbling this journey has been. So being given opportunities on the one hand, but the leap to getting those opportunities to be realized has been a test of resilience and resolve. So some of your friends have said, just go back to your financial career, to your corporate career. Why do you reject that? Why are you determined to stay the course with this career?
So, you know, when you feel like you've come a long way, you know, you're talking about hiking earlier. We hike a lot every Sunday with some of the girls. And one of the things we say is when you're in the middle of nowhere, you can't be like, oh, no, I'm going back. You know, so that's exactly how it feels. You know, it's like, I've come such a long way.
Yes.
You know? I've come such a long way to go back now, you know. And I think there's definitely a cross before the crown. So for me, if I really want this crown, I need to know that there's a cross. I wrote an article like that the other day, you know, to say there's a cross before the crown. So many a times we just want the crown, but we don't know that, you know, for you to get to the crown, you have to carry the cross.
Exactly.
So it's not even an option. You know, I even said the other time to a friend that if I were to go back to a bank, it would be for me to do exactly what I'm doing now. You know, scripting, writing briefs, doing this, doing that. But what happens is even on LinkedIn, you know, you start getting different opportunities because maybe within 3 years after I left the bank, I kept getting the same, HR people contacting me for your HR business partner. I mean, so credit analyst and all those things. Truth is right now I'm getting different things, you know, so I'm just right in the middle and I just need to pursue. And I'm so sober in my mind in saying that I will not go back to do banking. You know, if I could maybe one day go back to a bank, do something else. But I've just come way, way too far. And I've paid the price so many years.
The crowning. Incredible. Nontlantla, I really admire your resolve. And thank you for sharing your incredible journey with us. Because now when we see your name in the credits, when we see authored by this, you've written speeches, you've ghostwritten, and you're honoring this talent of writing and content creation with quite a heavy price. So when we see the success that is born out of it, we will know that it was born out of an incredible journey. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We're going to definitely come back to this conversation in years to come.
Really, I believe so too.
Bring it with me.
Yeah, I believe so too. That's Nonhlanhla Mnisi, a writer, producer, director, and an author. I think what an inspiration, especially if you're in pursuit of a journey, thinking of giving up. Just know that you are not alone in the sacrifices that you may have to make to realize it.